This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And yes, you are on Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And it's always on a Wednesday at 11 or just after 11, we chat parenting. And allegedly, today's topic, I should have been speaking about a long time ago, because as soon as I mentioned on social media that I'm talking about toddler tantrums and discipline, I was inundated with comments and when is the show? When is it happening? When can I listen to the podcast? So, yeah, I am sorry that it took me so long, but we are talking about toddler tantrums and discipline. And it is really actually something that for me, especially when we talk about discipline, it is something I feel that I'm a natural at. and not necessarily always in a good way. Sometimes I can be overly strict. But that's also a big topic that we want to talk about, because I feel that that's also the impression that people have. If I say that I'm good at disciplining my children, it means that I'm a strict parent. And that is not the case necessarily, I feel. But as always, I luckily also get in the experts to talk about this topic. I wanted to start off though, before I introduce my expert guest, is to also just share a little bit of insight, because my kids are already 10 and 12. So my toddler years with my children, I feel, is long forgotten. I have forgotten the meltdowns in Woolworths and all that horrible. I can only remember the fun times that came with toddlerhood. And they are, in all honesty, just as big as they can be on their emotional side with hectic tantrums. They can be just as cool with how excited they can be about life. And that's really the things that stood out for me. I want to share a story once that I, because I can't remember my kids ever having a meltdown in Woolworths or in Pick and Pay or something. It probably did happen, but I can't remember it. But one specific thing I can remember that happened once when I was shopping with Emmy, she was two or just over two, maybe two and a half. She's like in the trolley and we're like going around in Woolworths, and there was a man walking in the aisle in front of us, and very loudly she was like, "Mama, look, that man has a baby in his belly." Yes, I burst out laughing, obviously, like I just did, which is obviously very inappropriate. But that kind of stuck to me, so I wanted to share that just as there are these moments where you, luckily the good times stick, and these really, I went into the next aisle and then laughed very secretively and avoided that man for the rest of the shopping trip. But it is really, that's toddlerhood, is that they are unfiltered, I feel, with their emotions, their honesty, and their passion for everything. And that's also, it really is a fun age, I feel. And I never get broody when I see babies. Babies don't make me broody at all. I don't know why. Even the cute ones, I'm like, oh, they're cute, but oh, I don't want another baby. But when I see a two-year-old, honestly, when they talk and only the mom can understand what they are saying, I cannot help but be like, oh, they're so cute and they're so amazing. So it can be hard, but it can also be so wonderful. So don't forget to take in those moments of wonderfulness as well. But let's talk a little bit about the not so wonderful parts of it, because I do feel that parenting starts becoming a bit different when it comes to toddlerhood. You know, in the beginning, it's really about just keeping them alive. And then all of a sudden, emotional development starts and you have to start having boundaries and discipline in place. But like I said, as always, I bring in the experts, and my expert today has been on the show before. And it is Corinne Krier. She is a qualified occupational therapist as well as a mom. And she's been in business for a very long time. So hello, Corinne. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure to be here.
Yes, and on such, like I said, like a very notable, I feel the pressure is on with us today. That's why I was telling some jokes as well in between, because apparently people are listening to this very important topic. I'm very disappointed that it took me so long. But on that note, I want to remind everyone, please, we want you to be part of the conversation. So if you have comments, questions, or anything that you want to add to the topic, of course you can send us a telegram on 061-895-1019, or you can SMS us at 34519. SMSs are charged at R1.50 per SMS. We would love for you to ask your questions and have those things. So, Corinne, pressure is on.
I can feel it. I can literally feel the pressure.
Let's start with the beginning part of tantrums. And I guess it's the – why do kids have tantrums?
So, yeah, I think, you know, when we talk about tantrums, I think let's just start by saying that as parents, we should have grace for ourselves and we should have grace for our children. So let's just start there. Let's put on the glasses of grace or the hat of grace when we talk about this topic, because it is tough. It is really tough. It's
and
tough.
I mean, and I'm very, you know, cockily was saying that I'm good at discipline. Not all the time. I also have a very short fuse. I mean, this is loud as I can be now. Imagine that as a mom.
So let's just sit down and relax and have a lot of grace when we talk about this, and not see it as a judgmental talk, because, you know, we can be so judgmental to ourselves as parents. And, oh, we did this wrong and we are doing this wrong. There's none of that. It's just a lot of grace and learning. As our children are learning, we are learning to be parents. So it's okay. It's okay that we don't get everything right the first time. So let's just take that pressure off and let's just have lots of grace in this conversation. So I think to answer your question, why do kids have tantrums? I want to talk about two main types of tantrums, because I don't think the parents realize that you have different types of tantrums that have different root causes, but they kind of look the same. Okay. So the first tantrum is what we all kind of know as a temper tantrum. You know, that starts because our child is having a very big emotion, and it's usually anger or frustration. And it happens because they're not getting their way in whatever situation they are finding themselves in. And that tantrum usually lasts a few minutes. So it's not something that's long and ongoing. And it is something that you can see often. You know, you see that when they, for example, want to eat something before dinner time and you don't want to give it to them. Or they're visiting grandma and now they don't want to go home. So they have this big emotion. They don't have the vocabulary to really tell you what they are feeling, but they are overwhelmed with a frustration or an anger, and then it turns out to be a temper tantrum. Okay, so that's the one. The other tantrum that you get is called an overload tantrum, and I call that a sensory meltdown. And usually it's caused by a sensory overload. So it is when your child is overly tired, or they were at a very noisy and busy birthday party, and they are just in a sensory way with everything that they've heard and seen and touched and felt. They're just overloaded in their sensory system, and now they are having a sensory meltdown. And that looks the same as a temper tantrum, but it lasts much longer. And you cannot console a child that is having a sensory meltdown. You just have to allow them to cry it out.
No, I just wanted to, first of all, also just mention that I feel that it is so nice how you are also saying giving grace to parents, because in the end, again, like I said, none of us are perfect parents. And I can assure you, and I should actually know a lot better, because again, I'm exposed an inappropriate amount to parenting information and all sorts of things. Yet, I for sure also have temper tantrums. So on that note of giving grace, I also feel that we also have to have grace with our toddlers. Because, and I say that to parents often, I say that as adults, you know, how many times have you experienced road rage? And that's an adult that can't even control their emotions. So you can't expect a newly found emotional creature, which is a toddler, to have the appropriate emotional response in every situation.
Amen.
Yes. But more on that just now.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
If you've just joined me, yes, you are on 101.9 High FM. This is Bump and Beyond. And as always, we are talking parenting. A fun, not so fun, exciting topic, relevant topic, definitely. Toddler, yeah, that's a good tongue twister, apparently, as well. Toddler tantrums and discipline is what we're talking about. And as always, of course, I do want you to be part of the conversation. So if you do have any questions or comments, insights, maybe wisdom, you're a grandparent and you just want to share some of the insights that you have gained over your years of experience, please do send us a telegram on 061-895-1019 or SMS us at 34519. SMSs are charged at 1.50. We are, like always, like I said, want to know what's going on. And remember that this will also be available as a podcast afterwards for you to listen to. This show and all the shows that are on High FM are available for you to listen to. My expert guest today is occupational therapist and mom, Corinne Krier. And we're talking, like I said, temper tantrums. And before we went to the ad break, she mentioned that there's actually two kinds of tantrums. And I very specifically also mentioned that we need to have a little bit of grace with our little ones as well. But you mentioned there's the temper tantrum and then the sensory overload or the sensory meltdown. Is there then ways that we can, because already if you think of the sensory, I already feel like I could think of it. But is there ways that we can avoid these tantrums?
Yes, definitely. So I think let's talk a little bit about the two different ones. So let's start with temper tantrums. So if we want to avoid tantrums, let's just say we won't avoid it. Okay, we can't avoid it completely.
Maybe we should have that disclaimer. It's like, yeah. I don't think you will never have. Don't you think that's maybe a red flag as well, if your child never has a temper tantrum?
Yeah, that's a different conversation,
but I just want to say that it's also like, I feel like that's a bit of a red flag as well.
Yeah, because they have emotional overwhelm. That's just the way it is. They're learning to regulate their emotions and learn about different emotions, and they will get overwhelmed by big emotions like frustration. So it is quite normal.
Yeah.
I think the way that we can limit it to some degree is to teach our children emotional hygiene. Okay,
so that's like a big word.
Yeah. So when we want to teach children anything, we do it through games. That's the best way that we can teach them. And emotional hygiene games are things like, for example, putting a piece of newspaper out on the floor and stomping on the newspaper and saying, let's shake out all our emotions. And then you shake your whole body and you shake it out on the newspaper and you stomp it on the newspaper. Now, this is important, very important to note that we can't do this when we are already in a temper tantrum. This won't work. This is beforehand. So this is emotional hygiene games that you can play when your children are in a good space and when, you know, so you can say, if we are mad, what are we going to do? And then you stomp on the newspaper and you shake all your shake your body.
Yes.
You put all of that emotion into the newspaper. So that's one.
I like that a lot.
Then you can take that newspaper and you can tear it up and you can make a newspaper ball. So the crumpling of the newspaper and that deep pressure is so good to regulate. And you take those newspaper balls and you throw them at the target outside or you throw them in the dustbin. So that's a good way. You know, a physical outlet. So you shake the body, you move the body. These are all good things to get rid of your frustration and your anger if you are going that way. But you teach them that before, and you do that with them when they're in a good space.
This is even a good thing for adults to practice.
Very good. Then you can do that with your child.
I actually feel this can filter through to some adults as well. They can put their anger into a newspaper. Yeah. Oh, some do.
Yes. And then you can play some hitting or kicking games, like kicking a ball or kicking the can, putting down some cans, and then you have a ball and you kick the cans, or you have a swing ball and you play swing ball, or, smash the mole and, games like that where you hit the kick and you move your body a lot. So that's great release games. So that's the one. The other one that we can do is to develop emotional language. So, we need to teach our children vocabulary, emotional vocabulary, so that they can actually express what they are feeling when they are feeling big emotions.
Mm.
So when you see your child being frustrated or angry, voice what you are seeing. Oh, mommy, see you are struggling, you are frustrated, or mommy can see this is irritating. So use emotional language. So when they're small, we start with, very easy emotional language, like you're happy, you're sad, you're scared. But as they grow older, introduce words like frustration, irritated, angry, anxious. No. Words that they can connect with a certain emotion when you see it happening in their bodies. And you can even ask them, mommy can see that you are angry. Where do you feel the anger?
Well, because also that's also a thing that I think even adults struggle with, is that they don't realize where the emotion is in their body.
Yes.
It's like your stomach clenches when you're stressed out, or you're in your neck. And I think that type of body awareness is going to help you long term. Your child, you're helping long term.
Yes. And when your child is, for example, saying, I feel sad in my stomach, for example.
Yeah.
Then next time when your child is saying, Mom, my stomach is not feeling well, you can ask them, do you think that maybe you are sad? You can start to connect what they are feeling in their bodies with what they are, what's going on emotionally inside of them. Because it is difficult for them to verbalize emotions because it's abstract, but they can tell you how they feel in their bodies. That's physical. So connect those two. So that's the second thing. The third thing is to help your child to choose. So give them options. For example, if they are frustrated and you see they are building a tower and this thing keeps falling over and they are getting frustrated and you can see a tantrum is coming along and it's going to be a minute or two, then those blocks are going to go flying. Then you can say something like, Mommy, see that you are getting frustrated. Can mommy help? Or can mommy sit with you? Give them options. Next time when they are getting frustrated, they can say, Mommy, help. And then they know that, so you are coaching them in a way to help them to regulate what they are feeling. So give them options.
Yes.
And then the last thing is having firm boundaries. Because if you are consistent in your boundaries, they will know better when things are right and when things are wrong. So even if they have a tantrum now, next time they'll know, this is not going to help. Mommy's going to say, no, she's consistent. I have to find different alternatives. So being consistent, I think, is important. And then when it comes to sensory meltdowns, knowing your child's sensory triggers is very, very important. Some of our children have auditory triggers. Some of our children have physical triggers. So for some, it will be very intense to go to a busy shopping mall. But for other children, they are fine, but they don't like it when a lot of people hug them and touch them. And, so you have to know your child's sensory trigger, so be aware of that. And then remove that sensory trigger once you are observing that this is going to now become an issue. So if it's auditory, take them out of the shopping mall and let's go and sit in the car for a while.
Yes.
Be quiet. Because you've got to do your shopping. We can't rearrange our entire life.
Yes, of course not.
And help them to regulate by doing small little things and small little adaptations to help them through their day.
If you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond. And today I'm talking with occupational therapist Corinne Krier about toddler tantrums and discipline. And it's been such a wonderful chat already. I've even learned, I can't apply it to my toddlers anymore, but I feel like it's filtering through, as mentioned as well, to adulthood and to older children. So I think it's such a relevant talk. And as always, again, don't stress if you've missed the beginning part, because it was a great part already. This will be available as a podcast on highfm.com afterwards, so you don't need to worry if you've missed anything. Again, as always, if you've got questions or comments, please do send them to us. We would love to know what's going on. And if you have any comments, you can send them. Send us a telegram on 061-895-1019. Corinne, it was already, I mean, that's avoiding or trying to avoid toddler tantrums. I think it was already so insightful and helpful. And I just want to, before I get to the next part, because we've established there's not really, you can't always avoid it. It's going to happen. But again, as well, I love how you're talking about the different emotions and highlighting for children their emotions. Because again, I do feel that even us as adults sometimes have difficulty realizing and understanding our emotions. And I feel like as adults, we sometimes have a distorted view of what normal emotional development is like. And because people think that, oh, my child is sad. It is okay for your child to be sad, to be angry. And those are according to the situation. We all are sad. And we also have to remember that they can have emotional, they should have different emotions. You can't expect your child to be happy all the time. Luckily, most of the time they are. But it is absolutely okay to be angry when someone kicks you, or to be sad if you don't get your way, or what. I can't even think what makes a toddler sad when mommy goes to work. It's that is an appropriate emotional response considering the situation. And that's also something you should allow your child to process those emotions. Don't try to change it. Give them time to process that emotion. It will change once they've processed it. But on that note, like I mentioned earlier, or like you mentioned earlier, is that you can't really avoid the temper tantrums. So what can we do then when you're in the middle of a temper tantrum? What should be, because sometimes, I mean, especially if it happens in public, come on. Then we're like, you, and I think sometimes I feel if I see a mom in a shopping mall and her son is having a temper tantrum, I'm not always convinced that what she is doing is actually helping the situation. So what should we be doing?
Okay, so I think it's important to remember that when our children is in the midst of a tantrum, that we can't have a sensible conversation with them.
No.
So the reason why that is if you are in a tantrum, your brain is in a fight-flight mode, and it overrides cognitive processes. Physically, your brain is not able to take in cognitive information.
Yeah, your brain cannot think logically. Your emotional brain is completely overwhelming your logical thinking.
Yes. So please don't try to reason with a child or a toddler that is in the midst of a tantrum. He cannot process the information that you are giving to him. Okay. So these are the steps that I think is a good way to start, but all parents are different. So please, you are so welcome to give your input, but this is what I've seen works really well.
Yes.
So the first thing, and you know, lots of these tips, it's not all my wonderful tips. I've learned them from amazing people like Rana Hugo, and she's an amazing play therapist. And, you know, lots of friends of mine and therapists that I've journeyed with. So please, this is a compilation of amazing people's input into my life. So the first one is lend your child your calm.
Oh, I love
that. Say that again. Lend your child your calm.
Yes.
Remember that calm is contagious, and you want to set the atmosphere that of calm. You want to give them this atmosphere of calm. So please lend them your calm. Be compassionate towards them. I know it's difficult, especially if they have a temper tantrum in a shopping mall and all of the eyes are on you. But lend them your calm. Get down on their level. That's the second thing. And just make eye contact for a second. And not a firm eye contact like, this is unacceptable. A compassionate eye contact. Right? And then I want you to use your emotional language. Voice what you are saying. Mommy sees that this is difficult for you. Mommy sees that you are frustrated. Mommy sees that you want this cookie now. Mommy sees, just voice what you are seeing and give emotional language to your child. And then be firm on the boundary, but soft on the emotions. Mommy sees that you want this packet of chips, but this is not the time to buy chips. Enough. Just stop there. But just give them, validate their emotions, see, voice what you are seeing, and just give the boundary again.
I'm already feeling calmer with your calm. You lending me your calm.
Okay, and that doesn't mean that they are now going to stop kicking and screaming. They are going to continue, okay?
Yeah.
And that's okay. If you are at home, let's start at home. It's very easy. You can let them be where they are as long as it's a safe space. And you can just tell them or say to them, Mom's going to leave you here until you've cried it out. It's okay. And then you go on with, don't let them phase you.
Yes.
Keep lending them your calm and show them that you are in control of your emotions.
Yes.
If it happens, if it happens in a shopping mall, it's very difficult to leave your child on the floor and just continue shopping, okay? So in a case like that, I would say, let's go outside and Mom will sit with you on the bench until you feel better. So,
yeah.
And then you continue the shopping when they've calmed down, if it is a temper tantrum. If it's a sensory meltdown, you are going to remedy that in a different way. All right, yeah. But this is for temper tantrums. And then something that I really think works very well is to distract and redirect. So you are coaching them how to deal with the situation by firstly just helping them to be sensory aware. So you can say something like, so if you see, okay, we are getting to the end of this crying session, then you can say, let's listen, what do you hear? So give them something, distract their attention away to something that they can either see or touch or feel. So what are you hearing? Let's just listen to what we are hearing. Or let's look at where we can find the till that we can pay our child. Let's see, where's the open till? Help Mommy find the open, the space where we can pay. So try to distract them and redirect them by using something from their sensory system. Okay, because then immediately they will stop what they are doing, which is crying, and then try to listen or try to look or hold this for Mommy. And then you give them something from the trolley that you've already put in. And then you can hold this for me. Mommy's going to put the packet of chips back in there.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
And yes, if you've just joined me, you're on 101.9 High FM with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And I am speaking with Corinne Kreer. She's an occupational therapist and mom. And we're talking about temper tantrums, toddler tantrums specifically. And I think it's so wonderful already just understanding, because we started talking about compassion for mom and for the toddler. And I think already, if you just understand a little bit how your toddler is thinking and processing, I already think it makes such a huge difference. And Corinne, before we went to ad break, you were giving us some tools, but maybe you can just recap on those tools a little bit of what to do when you are in the midst of a tantrum.
Okay, so I think let's just recap them. The first one is lengthen your calm. The second
Lend them your call.
The second one is get down on their level, look at their make eye contact, and just in a very compassionate way, number three, use emotional language.
Yes.
Voice what you are seeing. Then the fourth one is be firm on the boundaries, but soft on the feelings. And the last one is distract and redirect. And use sensory awareness, helping to listen to something, see something, help you with something, hold something, touch something, just to distract and redirect them.
Yeah, and I mean, to be honest, that's even the distract and redirect. I remember during stressful times, psychologists have even told me those things as an adult, that you, if you're stressed out or you're feeling super anxious, is to think of like three things you're smelling, three things you're seeing, three things you're feeling, just to kind of like center yourself. And I think sometimes, again, we're not allowing emotional processing to happen. It's okay for children to process their emotions. If you just think, if you're a mom of a three-year-old or a two-year-old, how many times have you cried in the last 3 years? So you're allowed to cry and process your emotions, but you're not giving that same courtesy to your child. They are also allowed to cry and process their emotions. They are. So give them the opportunity to do so. They will learn over time how to do it appropriately if you are giving them the language to do so and giving them the tools how to appropriately respond in those situations. So, and that's part of parenting, is we need to teach them these things. And unfortunately, how many times did they say, Corinne, you have to repeat something to a child before they learn it? Like,
lots of times.
My son was like 9 years old when he finally said to me, thank you for something. And I'm like, I said, believe for something. I was like, something like really like, I'm like, finally.
We're getting somewhere.
I'm getting somewhere after 9 years. We've got some really great comments here as well. Renske said, she's so relieved that I can remember all the wonderful and good times as well, because she is in the hectic midst of a 3 and 5 year old busy boys. So she's like, thank you for the encouragement, she said. It's only a pleasure, Renske. And then her granny, Marion, was also sent us a message to say, I'm so glad you spoke about boundaries. Parents can't expect children to have boundaries out of the house if they have never been set at home. Great program as always. Thank you, Marion. I love that. So it means someone is listening. Thanks. Always grateful to hear that. So on that note about the boundaries, let's talk a little bit about toddler discipline, because I think that also becomes a whole different thing. And people, when they hear discipline, you know, can you discipline a toddler?
Yes, I think this is a great conversation. So again, I want to challenge the listeners today to take off the glasses that they are wearing currently of discipline and try on a different one. Because when we talk about discipline, parents usually correlate that to punishment. Mm-hmm. They would say discipline equals punishment. And I want to kind of move away from the punishment part and really talk about coaching today. So let's make it practical. So you've got a policeman on the one side or a traffic officer, and you've got a coach on the other side. Now, if you get pulled off by a traffic officer, you get told what you did wrong. The traffic officer says, you did this and this and this and this wrong, and I'm going to punish you. Here's your ticket. There you go. Okay, so you get told what you did wrong, and you get punished for what you did wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the approach of the policeman or the traffic officer. The coach has a completely different approach, and that's what I really want parents, I want to encourage you to try this approach, because the effect of the traffic officer is that your child will know what he did wrong, but he will not know what he needs to do right. Okay, yeah. You'll know what he did wrong, and he will get punished for what he did wrong, but he didn't learn anything in the process. He just knows now what he did wrong.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So the coach, on the other hand, models. The coach is training us. The coach is encouraging us to do better, to do more, to learn, to grow in this area. And if we can adopt the approach of the coach then we are telling our children, listen, this is a journey. I know you can't get this right the first time, and it's okay. And I'm going to model and coach you through this process of learning what is right and wrong, what is safe and unsafe, what is acceptable and unacceptable. But we are going to take you on a journey and a process of coaching and modeling and showing. And I think if we can look at discipline from that way, we suddenly have a picture in our minds of how we can take our toddler's hands and walk with them through this process of setting boundaries and learning what is discipline and learning how to listen and how to do what is expected of me.
Oh, and I mean, again, I love that. And again, I feel that I kind of filters through to adulthood is that we underestimate what our children understand as well. And sometimes we also have this expectation that we just think they know what is expected of them. And we've never actually told them, listen here, don't touch that or don't do that. Mm. We just think that they, and then when they do something or break something, we're surprised. Yeah. You know, their whole life, for instance, they've only had plastic stuff. And then finally they use a glass at someone else's house and they break it and we're surprised that they do it, but they've never experienced, or we get upset that they broke something and we never actually gave them the opportunity to do that. Again, most adults do not have control over their emotions all of the time. Emotional maturity actually only happens around 26 years of age. Most men, it's 50. That it's <really happening. laughs> But a little bit of tongue in cheek there. No one needs to get uproared here. But in the end of the day, emotional maturity is only reached around 24, 26 years of age. That means that before that time, that emotional brain can actually take over your logical thinking. And that's exactly where a toddler is at.
And I think just, Lana, just to...
I will get to that just now, Corinne.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
And just like that, another show is coming to a very strong end, unfortunately. It's been a great one. I've been speaking about toddler tantrums and discipline, just starting to touch on discipline with my guest today, OT and mom, Corinne Krier. Corinne, before we got interrupted, or I was mentioning to you that obviously children have different kinds of emotions, and you wanted to also mention an example of how we can deal with those things.
Yes, I just wanted to give an example of so that parents can just understand the different approach, the policeman versus the coach approach. For example, if your toddler is throwing a spoon from the table and it's continuously throwing the spoon off the table, you can say, instead of saying, don't throw the spoon, that's the policeman. You can say, the spoon is for eating, not for throwing. It's a completely different approach. Or if they're throwing the blocks, you can say, the block is for building, not for throwing. Let's go and throw the ball outside. Then they know. Okay, blocks are for building and balls are for throwing. You didn't just say, don't throw the block. So there's a coaching to this discipline. You can't just tell them what they do wrong. You have to coach them on how to do things right.
Corinne, as always, I think we can have a whole extra discussion about toddler discipline, and I'm definitely going to push on your button so that we can do that. But before you go, please, can you let people know where they can reach you? Also, please do mention a bit about your Mamma Mia app.
Okay, thank you, Yolandi. So I am the owner and founder of a child development app called Mamma Mia. It's for babies and toddlers in the age range 0 to 3 years. And it's an activity app that gives amazing activities to parents that they can use at home to develop their child optimally in all spheres of life. So you're welcome to visit our website at www.mamamia.co.za, and that's mom, like in parent mom, and Mia. That's my little girl's name. That's where it comes from, Mamma Mia.
Thank you so much, Corinne. It was fantastic to have you on. And like I said, I'm very sure we're going to have you on again because this was great. Thanks.
Wonderful to be on the show. Thank you, Yolandi.
Yes. And just like that, like I said, another show has come to an end. And next week, I think, actually extending this conversation a little bit, as I'm going to be talking to psychologist Jacomine Miller about intensive parenting, a bit of a trend that is happening where we are a little bit slightly over-involved and over-invested in our parenting and the research behind it, and also should we be doing it? Should we not be doing it? We will find out next week, so be sure to join me. Remember that one of the greatest gifts that you can give your child is the example of kindness. Thank you so much for joining me. I feel grateful to have you on this journey with me, and for this opportunity for you to listen to me. Until next time, enjoy your day.